What is going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It is Monday night, May 25th, 2026. Happy Memorial Day to everybody out there. Hope everybody that didn't have to work or hasn't had to work today has been having a good day. Enjoying the nice weather here in Indiana. Relaxing with friends and family. Maybe enjoying some pool time, getting some stuff done around the house, whatever you may be doing. Hopefully it's been an enjoyable day. I am Tanner Lee. Alongside with me this evening is not Josh the J-Man Munt. It is my father, Eric Lee. Dad, how we doing?
Doing well, Tanner. Thank you.
Yes, J-Man, I think he's in sorrow right now over the Cubs' 9-game losing streak. So,
yeah. Well, they've played 55 games and have had two 10-game winning streaks and a 9-game losing streak. That's pretty remarkable. Those things don't ever happen in a whole season, let alone, you know, a third of the season. So
they still would be the third National League wild card.
Yeah.
If the playoffs started right now. But right. They are not playing good baseball, and we will talk about that more in length when we get to it here in a bit. And I even got some tweets from the J-Man that I'll pull up because, you know, we were just talking a week or so ago that he hadn't been very active on Twitter or X, if you want to call it that, this season. Well, that's changed the last couple of days because he's back. The J-Man is back in full force.
I'm sure. Fire Beckman.
Fire Beckman. I'm sure whoever runs the Chicago Cubs social media, I'm sure Josh isn't a favorite of he or she. Let's put it that way.
Well, I'm sure you're right.
Put it that way. But with all that said, it was Josh's turn this week to give me a birdie or bogey question. So I asked when I called and see if you could fill in. I asked if you could come up with a question. Were you able to do that?
I was, and they're what I think are pretty soft questions. I know you need help. I've seen your golf game.
Need help? I'm off to a record start for the Tan and J-Man Show so far. But
yeah, well, that's these are very gettable questions. Let's put it through. I have two different sports involved. Would you rather have a Major League Baseball question or a NASCAR question?
You know, we haven't had many auto racing questions, so hit me with a NASCAR question.
Well, this is in honor of Kyle Busch, who mysteriously passed away last week.
Tragically,
yes. Only 41 years old.
Sounds like maybe it's been kind of released that he was sick last few weeks and some pneumonia turned into sepsis type thing. Right. So it's been released. So but still, it's awful. 41 leaves behind a wife and two kids. And
Yeah, really bad. Anyway, Kyle had 63 career NASCAR victories,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what they used to call the Winston Cup Series or whatever they call it nowadays.
Yeah, the main cup. Yep.
Yeah, not truck, not, you know.
Yeah, because I think if you put all those in, he had well over 200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so he was the current leader of career NASCAR victories of active drivers. Who is now the leader of active career victories for NASCAR?
Wow, that's a great question. I used to eat NASCAR questions up, but that was back when I was a big NASCAR fan, you know, when it was Dale Jr., Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, Jimmy Johnson, all those guys, that era. But since they all retired, I feel like NASCAR has lost a step or two, and the points is kind of hard to understand throughout the race for me, you know, somebody that doesn't pay too much attention. I've got to the point where I watch a little Daytona 500 and that's about it.
Yeah. I know when I was looking through this, you know, obviously Richard Petty was way out in first, but I remember Jeff Gordon, I remember seeing he had 93, and I'm sure Jimmy Johnson had upwards of 60 or 70. But yeah, one guy that was actually fairly close to Kyle Busch, but Kyle had the record. I will take this time. It will not count in your tally for the year.
Yes, right here, my co-host, Josh the J-Man Ma, who is not live with me, but he's watching on Facebook. He says, T-Dog is at even to start the year. Has to be the best score we've had by Memorial Day.
Well, yeah, probably right. But my other question was going to be that there's two current Major League Baseball players who have hit 400 plus career home runs, and you are going to have to name them both to get
Jeez. Get the
the
birdie.
birdie. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna guess one guy, but I don't know if he's still active. He was a year or two ago, two ago. Nelson Cruz.
He is no longer active.
Shoot. How about Paul Goldschmidt?
He is third. No, he's either third or fourth, but he
I'm
hasn't
not.
got to
Just a
400.
second. Man, I cannot think of guys who've been around long enough.
One of them ought to be pretty painfully obvious for you.
Aaron Judge.
No. Who else on the Yankees would have 456?
Giancarlo.
Yeah, Stanton has
Yeah,
456. And my favorite non-Cub is the other one.
Mike Trout.
Mike Trout has 417.
Yeah, I should have got that. That was poor effort. I'm glad it's not gonna count against me. That was really bad.
Judge will have 400 probably in the next 2 months. He's at
For some reason,
385.
I thought he okay. For some reason, I thought he was he already hit 400. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, probably a good thing you chose NASCAR.
Yeah, I like to keep it interesting on the podcast once in a while. So,
Yeah.
yeah, but good question. I'm gonna have to think about it all show. I'm gonna have to jot down some names to see if they come across my brain. But the birdie or bogey is brought to you by like this every week by Dreddy's Place and Arlington Public House. Dreddy's Place is small has small town vibes, big time flavor. They serve up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Located at 701 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana, and right next door is their sister restaurant, the Arlington Public House. You go there for upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere. Located at 703 Main Street in Rochester. I should note both Dreddy's Place and Arlington Public House are closed today and tomorrow in observance of Memorial Day. They will reopen on Wednesday, May 27th.
Okay.
So, all right. I thought we'd start off with some NBA talk
Okay.
tonight. We don't know the matchup for the finals just yet, but we could know one of those participants by the end of tonight, as the New York Knicks have a 3-0 series lead against the Cleveland Cavaliers and have looked pretty dominant doing so, despite game one digging themselves into a 23-point deficit with 7 minutes left, but dug
Right.
out of it, forced overtime, won in overtime game one. Game two and three pretty much manhandled the Cavaliers. I think they'll get it done tonight and sweep the Cavs, making the first NBA finals since the strike-shortened season of 98-99, which coincidentally they played against the San Antonio Spurs, who are tied after last night winning over the Thunder in pretty dominant fashion, tied 2 games apiece to the Oklahoma City
Right.
Thunder.
Right. Yeah, I thought the Cavaliers would actually get the Knicks this series, but I think that there's a huge hangover from that 20-point meltdown in the fourth quarter from Cleveland.
How could there not be?
Yeah, and I don't think they've gotten over it. Course, there's two people that are getting all the public criticism for the Cavaliers. One is James Harden, who famously has not been a great playoff performer in the past. He's famous for going 2 for 11s in game sevens. So shooting, and then their coach Atkinson came up with a thing today. He said, if you're just going by analytics, they've won 2 of the 3 games, basically
Well,
saying
that's a
that.
stupid comment.
Well, and then my all-time best buddy Stephen A. Smith going all
Yeah.
over that today. He had a couple humongously stupid comments, I thought. And one of them was this, but yeah, they're down 3-0. I'm with you. I see it. I see the Knicks in five. I see the Cavs probably winning tonight, but unfortunately, that's not much of a series. I think we all expected the Celtics to come through this year, or perhaps, once Tatum got back, or perhaps the Detroit Pistons, but they're still shy another score. They maybe would have had that if Jaden Ivey hadn't blown his knee out and then ruined his career with some statements. So, you know, they traded him and now he's out of the NBA. But they need another scorer in Detroit. But the other thing Stephen A. said that I heard, and I don't listen to him, obviously, but he said if the Knicks
win. No, why? You listen to Stephen A. You tune in all the time.
I don't ever tune in to Stephen A. I turn into Greeny before him.
I thought you watched all those talking heads. Stephen A., Colin Cowherd, Clay Travis.
No.
Nick Wright.
I've never listened to Clay Travis.
I get Clay Travis and Nick Wright mixed up. I meant Nick Wright. Sorry.
And I quit watching those about 3 weeks ago because
– all right. You will come NFL season again.
Yeah, none of the teams that I kind of like are in it, so I don't really need to hear about.
That's fair.
But supposedly Stephen A. said that if the Knicks win it this year, Jalen Brunson becomes the greatest Knick of all time.
Which I'm going to stop you there because I heard that this morning, and this brings me to my blind ranking segment.
Okay.
Brought to you by Performer Prince 2 Promo Group. I have a list here of what could be argued as, I think, the top five greatest New York Knicks.
Okay.
And I want you to rank them. Okay. 1 through 5. And starting with, I'm throwing in Jalen Brunson there. I'm putting him in the top five already. Where would you rank him?
I can immediately think of 3 or 4 above him. So I'd put him fourth.
Fourth?
He's very good. He just got voted second team All-NBA. They do pick on him on defense, but a lot of the great players get picked on. Luka Doncic, Stephon Curry, Harden. But he's a good
Jokic's
scorer.
Not the best defender.
Right, right. I was just thinking mostly at the guard position. But great scorer, great guy. Doesn't get many assists. He did one of the Cleveland games. But, I'm confident you'll bring some guys that I would put above him.
Willis Reed.
I'd put Willis third. He was MVP in the early 70s. He's famous for, I think it was 1969, Game 7 against the Lakers and Will Chamberlain. He ran out when his leg was basically not functioning at all. Hit 2 buckets. The Madison Square Garden crowd went bananas. He didn't really play after that, but an emotional leader. Played at Grambling in college.
Interesting. Did not know that.
I think he started out with the Pistons, became a Knick. That's the other thing. Jalen Brunson's only in his 3rd or 4th year of being a Knick.
Right.
So, but
well, the Knicks haven't historically drafted a lot of good talent.
Not in your lifetime, no.
No. Well, Clyde Frazier.
I would put him second. In that famous Game 7, he was the starting point guard for 2 NBA championship teams. He was a Southern Illinois Saluki. But
man, look at you pulling out all the colleges tonight.
Yeah.
I'm talking your era tonight.
In that Game 7, he went for 36 points and 18 assists.
Not too shabby.
He was also kind of the classy or funkiest dresser in the NBA, if you would. And he still is as an announcer. But Clyde the Glide, he was part of Earl the Pearl Monroe, and Clyde the Glide Frazier were the starting guards on these great New York teams.
I know him recently, you know, in the past 10, 15 years for the Just for Men commercials with Keith Fernandez.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
those two are kind of the spokesman for the Just for Men hair supplements.
To me, he was always the better player between him and Willis Reed, but they had 4 Hall of Famers in that starting 5, maybe all 5 of them. So they were a great team.
Even though I don't like the Knicks, especially present day, I had his jersey. Your brother, my uncle, Nick Lee, got me. He was into getting me some throwback jerseys there for a while for Christmas and birthdays, and which was fun. I loved wearing those, and he got me one in middle school, and I wore the crap out of that one.
Clyde to Glide.
Yep. All right, Bernard King.
Ooh, and your other one's
you got 1 and 5.
Yeah, well, I'll have to put Bernard as 5, even though he was one of the truly great scorers I've ever seen. I remember watching a game he put 60 in, I think, on a Christmas day. He blew his knee out, was never the same after that, but He was part of also a famous college duo. It was called the Ernie and Bernie Show in Tennessee. Ernie Grunfeld, who became a GM of the Knicks later on, he played 6 or 7 years in the NBA. And Bernard King, for about a 4 or 5 year stretch, he was probably all NBA first or second team. He was awfully good.
And number one being a guy the New York Knicks did take with their number one pick in the NBA draft. The ping pong ball was supposedly cold or frozen. Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, he would have to be number one. Led him twice to the NBA Finals.
Right.
He just picked an era to play when Michael Jordan was phenomenal. And there were other centers in the league like Hakeem Olajuwon.
Who he ran into in this first finals appearance.
Yeah. David Robinson, who he ran into in the
Your
second
second
one.
final. Yeah, that's a good
Yeah.
point. Yeah.
So that was probably, there was probably five or six centers in the NBA at that time that were just dominant. And he was an awfully good player. Did not like him at Georgetown. So they were some of my
Sure.
least favorite teams. But yeah, if I had to re-rank them, I'd probably end up putting Brunson fifth, putting Bernard King ahead of him. And Brunson still got a long time to play. He could pass these guys, but I wouldn't be calling him the greatest Knick ever off of one season.
Well, I mean, but what if they do win it all this year? I mean, that's got to take up his
Well,
value a little bit.
it. Yeah. But Willis had two, and Clyde Frazier had two, and yeah. East is way down this year.
Yeah.
It's not like he's leading a team in the West
Yeah.
to the finals. So,
Yeah.
a very good player. I don't want people to think I would take Jalen Brunson on my team anytime, but.
I mean, do you think it's fair though they put him in a top five? I mean, I was struggling to come up with a fifth.
Yeah,
I
I
think the
think
other one Google had, Google did have another one.
was it Dave DeBuscher?
Let me see here. It was Earl the Pearl Monroe was
Oh,
the other one that they suggested.
yeah. Of recent vintage, Allen Houston had a couple good years.
Yeah.
I would say he's more. I would put Jalen Brunson slightly ahead of Allen Houston.
You know, growing up, and this tells you the Knicks where they were for me. Like Al Houston came to my mind, Sprewell came to
Yeah.
my mind, even though he wasn't a Knick really that long.
Right.
Carmelo, even though he never won
Oh,
much.
Carmelo. Yeah. He probably should be in the other guy on there, maybe, but.
He didn't win much, but I know it's not, you can't really put that on one guy, but it happens.
Right.
But here's a little trivia for you. Can you name me the two other teams Patrick Ewing played on besides the Knicks? The two
Orlando
other
Matt.
teams.
Orlando Magic.
That was his final stop. Yep, where he retired.
Boy, I don't remember the
Played
other
for
one.
them for 1 year, and he played for this other team for 1 year in between the Knicks and Orlando.
Was it Toronto Raptors?
No, Hakeem, the Dream played for the Raptors.
Okay. Well, the only other guess I have, Seattle Supersonics in the day.
You got it. My Seattle
Yeah.
Supersonics.
I kind of remember him in the old green and gold.
Yeah.
But he was chunky and out of
Yeah,
shape by
yeah.
then, kind of like when Shaq played for the Suns and the Cavs and the
Or when Sean Kemp was a Cavalier.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a guy who
Or a
really.
Magic. Well, especially when Sean Kemp was on the Magic.
Yeah.
After his Cav days when the Magic had Grant Hill. Oh
Yeah.
my. Yeah.
Yeah, he ate his way out of the league.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. But that is the blind ranking segment, which, like I mentioned, is brought to you by, like it is every week, Performer Print Shoe Promo Group. Performer Print Shoe Promo Group is over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. So you need to look no further. So if you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2026, let them be your one source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. Back to the NBA talk. So you think the Knicks, as do I, are advancing to the NBA Finals. Who do you got coming out of the West? You got Wembanyama and the Spurs, or do you got the back-to-back MVP winner and SGA and the Oklahoma City Thunder?
I actually think the Spurs are a little better than OKC. I can't believe I'm saying that, but because I think those two teams they represent what I think the NBA is going to look like for the next 5 years.
Agreed.
They both have just had unbelievable draft abilities in the last few years. They did OKC did get SGA based on a terrible trade the Clippers made. Well, I think it was Paul George was involved with it back in the day. But OKC had so many first round picks over a 5 year period, and boy, has it ever jumped up. And then you think of San Antonio, they were terrible in the late 90s. They get David Robinson from Navy. He has to sit out 2 years to kind of finish his mission or whatever. Comes in, wins rookie of the year. They win 50 some games. He gets hurt the next year. They fall to last. And then they get to get Tim Duncan. Next thing you know, they have five championships and 22 straight playoff appearances. Then they stink for a while. Then they get Wembanyama. And then they had the number two pick last year and got Dylan Harper. And they wisely took Stephon Castle, I think, in the as the fourth or fifth pick, and all of a sudden they're loaded. So those two teams, they're probably two of the only, off the top of my head, I can only think of three or four teams that are that have, or three or four cities that have only one professional sports team, and it's an NBA team. Oklahoma City only has Oklahoma City Thunder. San Antonio only has the San Antonio Spurs as far as the major four sports.
Portland.
Portland was one, and you can somewhat say New Jersey,
They're Brooklyn. They're
but no, they
Brooklyn
got the
now.
Devils. They
They're
got
Brooklyn. Yeah. They're
yeah, you're
Brooklyn
right.
now.
Yes, and Brooklyn doesn't really count because New York's as part of New
Orlando
York.
Magic.
Yeah. I knew you'd think of a few, probably Memphis.
Yep.
But they got rabid fan bases because that is all they have, I would say if I had a $1,000 bet, I would say Oklahoma City, but I'm
Sacramento Kings. Sorry. Oh, well, technically, right now we got the
yeah,
A's.
you
Technically.
got your
Yeah.
Sacramento A's
Sorry.
there.
Yep.
But it wouldn't shock me a bit for San Antonio to win this series.
No,
I think the
no.
winner of tomorrow night, game five, in my opinion, will win the series.
I agree. I think it goes seven, though.
Yeah.
As much as I don't like the Knicks, and I'm not just saying that because I call myself a Pacer fan, even though I didn't watch a single minute of them this year. Until the Sonics come back, I call myself a Pacer fan. But I've just never cared for the Knicks. But I will say, I think the NBA as a whole is better when the Knicks are good.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah. Well, they definitely want the Knicks and the Lakers to be relevant.
Sure.
LA is still the chosen franchise, and then
Yeah.
the Celtics have the history.
Yeah.
So I would say the Lakers, Celtics, and Knicks. If the NBA
Oh, I
can,
think the NBA wants the Bulls good too.
and the fourth one would be the Bulls. They did fall in love with the whole Golden State thing.
Yeah,
And
sure.
a lot of that's because Seth Curry's such a likable guy,
Yeah.
even though
Draymond's
Draymond is not. And Klay Thompson was a likable guy.
Well, and Durant got a couple rings there.
That kind of almost made them as a little unlikable because they'd won
Yeah.
73 games and then they went and get Durant.
Well, it's kind of like the Heat. They went through it with LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, where nobody really cared about the Heat until they got those guys. Then they were the villains.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah. But I think you're right. If they could get LA, not the Clippers, the Lakers, the Bulls, the Celtics, and the Knicks in the Final Four, that's what they would want. But they can't because the Bulls are in the East, aren't they? I think I just lost you. You back?
Can you? Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Connection issues, I guess.
Yeah.
I've been having a lot of issues with my streaming software as of late, no matter what podcast I'm on. So I
Okay.
apologize. I don't want to leave you leave you there by yourself. But like I was trying to say before my connection went out, it's kind of like the Heat when they had LeBron, Bosh, and Wade. Nobody cared about them before, even though they had one title.
Right.
Then they became the villains of the league, and now they don't really bother anybody again.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I could see San Antonio not being a favorite in a couple years.
Yeah.
Because Wimbiana, he's so unique. But there's just something that makes it hard to like the guy, in my opinion. And even with Oklahoma City, SGA is a tremendous player. But he's already taken a reputation as being a free throw merchant.
And I personally think the Thunder are dirty. So
yeah. Well, Lou Dort is this team's version of Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
Caruso's a little bit on the let's just say physical side.
Yes.
And they have defenders everywhere. It was ironic because they actually pulled SGA out of the game in that first game with 7 seconds to go for defensive purposes, you know, and everybody says what a great defender he is. I thought, was he in foul trouble? He wasn't. So they just have defender after defender coming off the bench. So, and they get a top 10 pick this year again.
Yep.
So I just think those two are going to be habitual teams for a while. Maybe the brilliance of Jokic or even Doncic can overcome him once, but I doubt it.
I don't.
Edwards.
Yeah, I think Denver's window is about closed.
Yeah.
One last NBA question I have for you: What happens with LeBron? Where do you think LeBron's playing next year?
Unless he takes a big salary, who wants to pay 50-some million for him?
Well, your buddy Stephen A. was making a case for the Cavaliers yet again.
Yeah.
Needing a guy like him on their team. I don't know.
Yeah. At this stage of LeBron, he plays no defense at all. He cherry picks a little bit. He's still a good basketball player. He's probably a top 20, 25 player now.
Well,
he's
not top five anymore. He is phenomenal for his age.
No, there's no question about it.
But,
they will be the biggest draw in the NBA because everybody's going to assume it's his last year, you know. Yeah. I could see him, I guess, going to the Cavaliers. You know, there was thoughts of him going over and playing with Draymond and Curry.
Yes.
But I think Golden State's about done.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to have three guys over 37 years old all on one team.
Yeah.
Playing. He could always stay with the Lakers, but
right. But
I'm wondering if the Lakers actually wouldn't like to have some free space in their cap and actually go get some young athletic defenders and lob runners and stuff. So
looking back on it, was it worth it for the Lakers to go get LeBron?
Well, he's won one title in 8 years. This is his longest stint he's ever had with one organization.
And in my opinion, it's a asterisk title. That whole bubble season, COVID.
Well, in a lot of sports, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and they haven't really been close other than that. They may have made the Western Conference Finals 1 year. I can't remember.
I think they did.
Yeah.
But, you know, he and Anthony Davis were supposed to be the two to take him over the top,
yeah.
And didn't really happen.
Yeah. The bubble year and none other, you know, they had some other winners on that team. I think Rajon Rondo was on that team and Dwight Howard. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to get a statue outside the Staples Center or whatever.
No, he's not. I mean, that's one franchise. He's probably not even, I don't even know if he's top five Laker of all time.
No.
I mean,
no,
you got probably top 10.
You got Magic, Jabbar, West, Baylor,
Kobe.
Kobe. That's just off
Shaq.
Shaq won 3 titles with the Lakers. James Worthy. I mean, titles aren't everything, but they're pretty important.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So,
okay. Good point.
Any other NBA things you want to discuss?
I think all the postseason awards are in now. The first team, all pro team, had Wembanyama, SGA, Jokic, Doncic, and who was fifth? Oh, Cade Cunningham, who is the only American to be first team. Do you know he's the only American to even receive one first place vote in the MVP the last 5 years? And he got one, and it was from the Detroit Writer.
Free press, probably.
Yep.
That's
And
crazy.
it's a lot of those guys we just mentioned, and then you add in Giannis, and there was one other too, but they're receiving all the first place votes, so.
Well, we will shift gears, no pun intended, and talk a little auto racing. The
Okay.
Indianapolis 500, the 110th running, the Indianapolis 500 was yesterday. On May 24th, and it was the closest margin of victory in Indianapolis 500 history as Felix Rosenquist edged out David Malukas, Malukas, I believe is how you pronounce his name, by 0.0233 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an unbelievable last lap. It looked like that Malukas was going to win the whole, holding off, holding off, holding off, and finally at the last gun. The Rosenquist, or however you pronounce it, got him at the tape, closest one ever. I think the other closest one was Al Unser Jr. He beat Scott Goodyear like in the early 90s.
91, I believe.
Yeah. Do you know this was the first race without a Foyt, an Unser, or Andretti for I think it was 60 years? That's pretty incredible.
I did not watch any of the race.
Yeah.
My wife and I were out and about doing things yesterday, but a lot of my friends in my friend group in our text group were talking about it, and of course the finish, so I had to get on social media and see how close the finish really was, and that was pretty exciting. I mean, just by that edge,
Yeah.
he won himself $4.34 million. The
Yeah.
total purse was $30,906,400. Now he becomes a household name in motorsports. For
If you can
those who
pronounce it.
didn't already know, I think it's Felix Rosenquist. I think, but
Yeah.
the QV
Yeah.
kind of throws me off there, so I could be wrong.
Yeah,
But
and the kid that got second, he was second last year as well.
man.
And so he was devastated after the race
Yeah.
because this is your for the non-auto racing fan, this is the one race that other people do look up to see,
Yeah.
part of the race, or at least somewhat follow attention to it. So,
Yeah, I think it's one of those traditions and sporting events that has held its own throughout time.
right.
It's aged well. I mean, it actually feels bigger and bigger all the time.
Yeah.
So they already released the logo for next year's 111th edition.
Yeah. The 500 lost some of its gusto there in the whenever the cart split up was, Indy cars and cart, and a lot of the big it is a little bit like what happened to the golf, with LIV and everything. Some of the big names went off to cart, including the ones everybody knew who they were. But they built themselves back up, and that was a one packed state, not stadium, but the crowd was huge. Let's put it that way. So, yeah.
350,000. I mean, that's more than the population of Pittsburgh, the population of Cincinnati, the population of Lexington. Those are just a few cities I was seeing thrown out there.
Interesting.
So,
Have you ever been to the race?
nope, I've been to six Brickyard 400s, but never been to the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, I went to four of them in mid early and mid 80s. It is something I think everybody ought to go to one
One
time,
time, yeah.
just the whole spectacle,
Caitlin Clark served as the Grand Marshal,
Yeah.
and Kirk Cignetti drove the pace car.
Yeah. Yeah. So, couple famous Indiana names here from the last couple years, so
Both with initial CC.
yeah. Yeah, and Indiana had no allegiance to either one of them 3 years ago. You know, then
Nope,
Clark came and
nope.
then Cignetti. So
Cignetti was not even known by a lot of people in the state of Indiana.
I'm sure 95%
Yours
didn't know who he
truly
was.
didn't even know. I knew James Madison was a good program, but I couldn't have told you his name.
Yeah, when they hired him, I had no idea who he was. So,
Now he makes our life a living, you know what? As Purdue
yeah,
fans.
13.2 million a year to coach college football, highest paid employee in the state of
Well,
Indiana
let's
from the
yeah,
government.
and let's be honest, he did something you and I never thought we'd see in our
No,
lifetime. So
I agree.
unbelievable, unbelievable. But do you want to get educated and learn about some sport events that have happened on May 25th?
Sure.
I'm guessing there might be some Indy 500 sprinkled
I
in
would think
here.
so, yes.
We'll see. On this day, 1922, Babe Ruth was suspended one day and fined $200 for throwing dirt on an umpire.
Okay.
On this day, 1935, Jesse Owens equaled or broke four world records in 45 minutes at a Big Ten meet in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's remembered as the greatest 45 minutes ever in the sport.
Yeah, he
Doesn't
ran.
show what events, so.
I would think it'd been in those days, 100-yard dash, the 220, the long jump, and probably a relay, because he was that's the four events he won in Munich the next year in the Olympics.
On this day, 1941, Ted Williams raised his batting average over 400 for the first time.
Oh, really? And that's the year he ended up hitting 406.
On this day, 1948, who won the 30th PGA Championship held at Norwood Hills Country Club?
1948. I'm going to go with Hogan.
Ben Hogan scores a convincing 7-6 win over Mike Ternesa in the Tuesday final for his second PGA crown.
The PGA was match play up until like 1958 or
I did
9.
not know that till today.
And
Interesting.
I think it was 36 hole match play for the championship.
Interesting.
Yeah.
On the day 1951, New York Giants outfielder Willie Mays played in his first major league game. It was an 8-5 win over the Phillies. He went over five.
Yeah, I think Willie started out something like 1 for 19 or something. And I remember reading where he called his mom and said this was too hard for him and stuff. But things worked out for Willie.
On this day,
660 homers.
1965, Muhammad Ali KO'd Sonny Liston in 2 minutes and 12 seconds of round one at the Central Maine Civic Center to retain his WBC slash WBA world heavyweight boxing title. And it's one of the most famous images in sports where he's kind of flexing his arm or swinging his arm and he's
Yeah.
standing over his opponent and says, "Get up and fight, sucker." A
Yeah,
triumph. Yep.
for many years they thought they called that the phantom punch because they don't think he really hit him. They thought it was staged. He had beaten Liston the year before when Liston was like a 8-to-1 favorite to beat him. So
On this day, 1970, who won the third ABA championship?
I'm gonna go with the Pacers.
Indiana Pacers beat the LA Stars 4-2. I didn't know the LA Stars were a franchise.
I always think it was the Utah Stars, but
Says LA Stars, but it could be. And we talked about the Utah Stars last week, so maybe
well,
that's a
maybe
typo.
Utah went. Maybe Utah transferred over to LA after a couple years.
Could have been.
Yeah.
On this day, 1975, who won the 29th NBA championship?
75. See, Celtics won in 74 and 76, Knicks in 70 and 73, 75. Oh boy, this is not good. I can name almost every other winner in the 70s.
It was a
75.
sweep, if that helps you at all. It was a sweep.
Was the Warriors.
Warriors over the Bullets,
Yeah.
4 games.
Yeah, that was Rick Barry, whose all his sons ended up playing. Was unbelievable that series.
Yeah, growing up, I never thought I'd see the Warriors or Wizards amount to much. Warriors obviously have the Wizards still stink.
Yeah.
On this day, also 1975, Cleveland's Dennis Eckersley, I cannot say his last name ever, debuted, shutting out the A's 6-0.
Okay. And then, you know, he became a legendary reliever as time went on.
Also on this day, 1975, who won the Indianapolis 500?
75.
It was a range shortened race.
Was that Gordon Johncock?
It was Bobby Unser.
Bobby Unser, okay.
Beat Johnny Rutherford and pole sitter A.J. Foyt for a second Indy title.
Okay.
Who won the Stanley Cup on this day, 1978?
I'm going to go with the New York Islanders.
It was a three-peat for the Montreal Canadiens as they beat the Bruins 4-1 to win a 4-2 series.
Because the Islanders won four in a row, I think, but it must have started the next year or 2 years later.
On this day, 1980, who won the Indianapolis 500?
1980. I'm going to go with Rick Mears.
Johnny Rutherford won from the pole position for his third Indy victory, becoming the sixth driver to win the race three times.
Okay.
On this day, 1981, Boston Red Sox Carl, help me out here.
Yastrzemski?
Thank you, Yastrzemski. At the age of 41, became the fourth player to play 3,000 Major League Baseball games. Can you name the other three as of 1981 who had played in 3,000?
Willie Mays?
No.
Oh, really? Stan Musial?
Stan Musial.
Ted Williams? Of course, he had to sit out 3.5 years for
the war.
Wow. I'm shocked Willie Mays wasn't one. I'm going to go with Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron? This other guy played for a long time.
Well, that takes away the guy I was going to say Ernie Banks.
No. Nope.
Played for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't spit it out.
Ty Cobb.
Oh, a little before my time.
Yes, yes. On this day, 1982, Ferguson Jenkins became the seventh pitcher to strike out 3,000 batters.
Okay.
On this day, 1984, the Red Sox traded pitcher Dennis Eckersley to the Cubs for Bill Buckner.
Okay.
Honestly, 1980. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say 2 years later, Buckner's had let a ground ball go through his legs that ruined his career.
Against the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Stanley Cup here. Honestly, 1989, who won the Stanley Cup?
Boy, I have. I got nothing. Rangers.
It was an all-Canadian Stanley Cup as the Calgary Flames beat the Canadiens.
Okay.
Win the series 4-2.
I could have won all year and getting that one.
Which, you know, the Canadiens are the last NHL team to win the Stanley Cup in 1993. They're currently tied one game apiece with the Carolina Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Game three is tonight. And my Colorado Avalanche are on the brink, down 3-0 in the West to the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, that seems surprising.
Up 3-0 last night after the first period and lost 5-3. What a collapse.
Yeah.
I want to tweet like Josh Adam, but I'm not going to. On this day in 1991, who won the Stanley Cup? We're not a hockey family, everybody, if you can't tell.
Montreal.
The Pittsburgh Penguins beat the Minnesota North Stars.
Okay.
8-0 for a 4-2 series win. It was the Penguins' first final series appearance.
Okay.
On this day, 1997, the Twins retired Kirby Puckett's number 34.
Yeah.
On this day in 2003, who won the Indianapolis 500?
Buddy Rice.
Oh, boy. I remember that one. That was a rain short one, but it was not Buddy Rice. French-born Brazilian driver Gil de Ferran, I'm going to say. Ferran, I don't know. Passed Helio Castroneves with 31 laps remaining for his first Indy win.
Yeah, if I can't pronounce them, I'm not naming them.
On this day, 2008, who won Indianapolis 500?
Scott Dixon.
Scott Dixon. There you go. There
I
you
can pronounce
go.
that one.
He's the 19th winner from the pole and the first victor from New Zealand. How about on this day in 2014, who won the Indianapolis 500?
Helio Castroneves.
Helio was runner up. It's Ryan Hunter-Reay
Okay.
by a margin of 0.0600 seconds, the second closest finish in race history until yesterday. So
Yeah.
now it's third. Also on this day, 2014, never gave Josh one of these, but I'm giving you. Who won the senior PGA Championship? It was at Shore Harbor.
Senior PGA Championship in
Yep.
2014.
Yep.
See, that's 12 years ago, so who would have been Tom Lehman.
Colin Montgomerie won his
Oh,
first
really?
of three Champion Tour majors by four strokes over Tom Watson.
Okay.
And last year, who won the Indianapolis 500 on this day?
Oh, PAU, whatever, PA, I don't
Alex
know.
Palou, Alex Palou,
Hello.
who was on the poll, and I just remembered that was one of my 26 bold predictions for 2026. So, gotta mark that one in red, just like
Yeah.
most of mine.
You
So
better
thanks.
buy some a couple red ink pens because I think most of your stuff's going down.
Yeah, not very good. Not very good. Thanks, Alex. Thanks for nothing. But that is the
Yeah.
On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like as every, Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on systems and strategy and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you and your company with your digital marketing. All right, we got about 11 and a half minutes left of the show, and title of this podcast is "What Is Wrong with the Cubs?" Because, like I mentioned at the start, the Cubs, a team that has seen themselves have two different 10-game win streaks, including a 15-game win streak at home,
Yeah.
all of a sudden has dropped 9 game straight.
Yeah.
And before we get into it, let's read some of my co-host Josh the J-Man Munt's tweets from lately. You can follow him at MuntDog16 on Twitter. All right, we'll start on May 20th. So last week, "You suck at Cubs," followed up by two separate 10-game win streaks by early May, and they find themselves in third place by the middle of the month. Gutless losers. He also had one cancel the season at MLB. May 23rd, so Saturday, "Gutless losers, fire Jed at Cubs." May 24th, "Is that a ... lead at Cubs?" followed by "And it's gone" from the South Park, the GIF
Yeah.
there. Another one on another couple other ones. This is on May 24th, yesterday. "You suck at Cubs." And we have a whole string of them on May 24th. 15 games over 500 to just 5 games over in the span of 14 games. What a joke, fire Jed. They have been disastrous in May 3 of the last 4 seasons. The injuries and the rotation have been brutal, but Jed built zero quality depth while depleting the farm system and giving out $100 million contracts to non-superstars. He had one of the worst off seasons an exec has ever had. Followed up 15 straight wins at Wrigley by losing 6 straight and getting swept by one of the worst teams in the American League. Figure it TF out at Cubs. Then followed up by, "I'm going to watch at Illini MBB highlights to make myself feel better." And today he had one tweet 3 hours ago. "I hate you, Cubs."
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't follow it near as close as Josh does, but yes, the Cubs have had a bunch of injuries to his pitching staff, but I can tell you in this 9-game streak, pitching's only been a concern a couple times. It's the hitting. I mean,
The
today they
bats have
lose
went
two.
cold.
I think they lost 2-1 today. I mean, you can't blame pitching when you only give up 2 runs. Yeah, so they've got a lot of good baseball players. They don't have any superstars by any means. They did get one big acquisition this year in Alex Bregman, and he's hitting around 250. And Pete Crow Armstrong's hitting around 240. Horner's been pretty solid, but yeah, they just have a bunch of guys hitting around 240, and they're not producing runs like they did last year. They do have a lot of walks. Bottom line, you got to score runs. Got to
Yeah.
hit. Get a guy over second in less than 2 outs. You got to get him home.
Right now they're 29 and 25,
Yeah.
3.5 back in NL Central, but the Reds are half game behind them, and the Pirates, who they lost to over the lost to today, are only a game behind. The Cubs are 11 and 14 at Wrigley, or no, 11 14 on the road, 18 and 11 at Wrigley. 1 and 9 in their last 10, of course.
Yeah.
But I mean, looking around the league in the American League East, got the Rays out in front with a 34 and 17 record, including 19 and 5 Tropicana Field.
Are they playing at Tropicana?
Yes, it was rebuilt for this year. Yep.
Okay, I didn't know if they were there this year or if they were playing in
Yep. They played at the Yankees spring training, Steinbrenner Field, last year, but they're back in Tropicana, even though they still
Okay.
want a new stadium. But
Oh, yeah.
some good juju fall going down there in Tampa, and they're 15 and 12 away. Yankees are 32 and 22. Blue Jays then are 25 and 28. The Orioles 24 and 30, and the Boston Red Sox 22 and 30.
Yeah.
The American League Central, the Guardians have caught fire. They're 32 and 23. Right behind them, still with a winning record, Chicago White Sox 27 and 26. The Twins are 26 and 28. The Royals are 22 and 32. And the Detroit Tigers, 21 and 33.
Yeah, that's a shocker.
Yeah. They're only 8 and 21 away from Comerica Park. In the American League West, the Sacramento Athletics, if you will, are leading the division at 27 and 26. The Mariners are 25 and 29. The Rangers 24 and 28. The Astros 23 and 31. And the Angels 20 and 34. American League's pretty bad.
Yeah.
National League East, the Braves have a commanding 9-game lead with a record of 36 and 18. The Nationals are 500 and in second place, 27 and 27. The Phillies are 26 and 27. The Marlins 25 and 29, and the lousy Mets 22 and 32.
I think the Mets, the Red Sox, and the Tigers have just been terrible this year.
Yeah. The Central, I already said the Cubs record, but the Brewers are winning the division 31 and 20. One of the surprises around the league are the St. Louis Cardinals, who are
Yeah.
29 and 23. A lot of people thought they kind of sold their team off and we're going to rebuild, but their young guys are stepping up. The Reds are 28 and 25, and the Pirates are 28 and 26. So the whole NL Central still with a winning record as of Memorial Day.
Yeah, it's pretty unusual.
And then the NL West, you got the Dodgers, no surprise there, out in front with a 33 and 20 record. The Padres right behind them, 31 and 21. The Diamondbacks, 28 and 24. Then you got the Giants, who are 22 and 31, and the Rockies, who are 20 and 34.
Right. Okay. Well, and we got about another 30, 35 games, and then teams will, before the trade deadline and all that stuff. And so, if you're within 2 or 3 games of the lead, you're a buyer. And if you're 7 or 8 out, you're a seller. So that kind of determines from that point forward, a lot of these teams are going to get a lot stronger, and some of them are going to get a lot weaker.
And I have not made a book it prediction of the week yet. And since we're talking baseball, I will stick with that. I'm trying to see. what the schedules look like here for the Cubs the rest of the week. They play the Pirates tomorrow, Pirates on Thursday. So no off day. There is off day on Wednesday. Don't play Friday. Or do they? Yes, they play the Cardinals over. So Pirates and Cardinals. So this will be Tanner's book it prediction of the week. The Cubs bounce back, win their next two over the Pirates. But then I think, that, you know, I'm going to check to see if they really have an off day.
They're probably off on Thursday.
No, they're not off. They play the next 3 days. I didn't scroll down enough. So they play, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday against the Pirates and then the Cardinals. So I think they bounce back, win the next three against the Pirates, then get swept by the Cardinals.
Oh, well, I don't know. You got schemes. You'll have to pitch one of those games more than likely.
Well, baseball's weird. Watch.
Yeah.
Watch. But
yeah, I would be shocked if the Cardinals swept them, but who knows? I couldn't even tell you a member of the Cardinals other than, is Arenado still on the Cardinals?
No, he's a Diamondback.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know Cardinal.
No. No, I don't. I could say that about a lot of teams.
Me too.
But that is my book of prediction of the week, or J-Man's, which J-Man might have them lose all. He might have them lose all six if he was making the prediction. But it's by the Travis Watchman Agency. Travis Watchman is a multi-line agent for Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance, specializing in home insurance, auto insurance, life insurance, renter's insurance, annuities, and more. So contact Travis for help with any of your insurance needs at 219-869-4561. All right. Anything else you want to hit on real quick before I have you revisit the birdie or bogey?
No. It'll be interesting to follow this college basketball story about them wanting to stop European professionals from coming over.
That could kill Illinois.
Well, I can't imagine they would do it. It would kill Illinois, but I can't imagine them not starting it from this point forward. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But
there's gotta be a line drawn in the sand somewhere. I don't like this. Guy, I don't like what LSU's doing. Basically, these guys they're bringing in. So,
well, you've always had the teams that have been built for one and dones, the Dukes of the world. Some people are finding some loopholes. You know, Illinois found the foreign route.
Yep.
Then Kentucky. There's a few of them that are buying their teams. Indiana, Kentucky, Texas. Purdue kind of stayed with the old traditional route of just grabbing kids from high school and adding one or two, every couple of years. So everybody's got their methods.
Yep.
So, I'd just like to see maybe some type of rule that once you hit the age of 23, you can't play, you can't play as a 24-year-old in college basketball. But I don't know how they could do that. But, because somebody could have had some illness early in their life or something and they couldn't, they had to overcome, sit out 2 years of school or what, who knows? So,
yeah,
good luck. But I just think maybe this 5-5 is the way to go.
We can only hope. Yeah. We can only hope. The waters keep getting cloudier and muddier, it seems like. So.
I think at this pace, because football runs everything, pretty soon there's just going to be no NCAA and it's going to be 40 schools that play football and it's going to leave out a lot of, the Purdue's of the world.
Yeah. But I can't see a world where Purdue doesn't have football.
They'll have football, but it'll be
in its own other league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, each state has their quote unquote state university, like Ohio State, Michigan, Indiana.
So Indiana and Notre Dame would be in, Purdue would be out. Because, you say what you want about the history of Indiana football, they're the national champions. So,
yeah, Well, we don't know where they'll be in 10 years, but it looks pretty promising.
Yeah, that helps them. Absolutely helps them. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I agree. We could go down rabbit holes for that for a long time. But back to your birdie or bogey question, that which was NASCAR related.
Yes. Kyle Busch obviously passed away this week. He
Yeah,
had the
rest in peace to Rowdy.
Yep. He was the current leader of career NASCAR wins.
Cup wins.
With his passing, who now is the career leader active?
I got two guys written
Okay.
down, Denny Hamlin and Joey Logano, and I'm going with Denny Hamlin.
It is Denny Hamlin with 61.
Let's
In
go.
second place was Joey Logano with 37.
Let's go. They're the only two I could think of that was even close. So it's like Austin Dillon hadn't done it. Kyle Larson hasn't done it.
I
All
think Kyle
right.
Larson was third.
One under par. Way better in my real golf game, but
I have to apologize for Josh for giving you a
let's
layup.
go.
Should
Oh,
have made you do
whatever.
baseball.
Should have. That's my worst category. He'll come back in 2 weeks with a baseball one against
Yeah.
me. But thanks for watching, everybody. Thanks for listening. Hit that like button, that follow button, that notification bell. Give us a 5-star rating and review. That really helps us out. You can buy Tan and J Man Show merch at Tan and J Man Show shop.com. And join us again next week as we'll be back, and hopefully Josh will be back with episode 497. Thanks again, Dad, for filling in.
Yeah, you're welcome.